I'm going to take a little trip down memory lane for some of you this morning. And for others of you, just enjoy a bit of the humor and count this as a little history lesson. Because you understand that the things that are happening now in your younger people's lives are going to be considered obsolete in another generation. So just hold on to what you have and enjoy it, because someday people are going to chuckle a little bit at how really inept you were at surfing the net and doing all these wonderful things, because technology is going to far outstrip anything that we can think about. So, for those of you who lived in another generation, hear this. It was in 1925. That was the last century. 1925, when Alan O'Dell, a young man, went to his father named Clinton and said, "Dad, I've got a really exciting thing that is going to help promote your program, your product that you're making. And I want to do it, but of course I need money." So his dad said, "Okay, Alan, I'll cough up $200. I'm going to give you $200 for this little adventure of yours and see what comes of it." So Alan, being very enterprising, got his brother Leonard to work with him, and they proceeded to write this advertising campaign for his father. Now, here are some of the things that came out of this creativity of these two brothers. See if any of you recognize any of this. "Why is it when you try to pass, the guy in front goes twice as fast? Angels who guard you when you drive usually retire at 65. Proper distance to him was bunk. They pulled him out of some guy's trunk." Or these wise sayings are one. But you know, I left out the last two words of each one of these. Can anybody tell me what they are? See, I knew you'd know it. Burma Shave. Now, these signs were very popular in the 30s, the 40s, and even into the 50s. There were some of these signs, and they, believe it or not, they were in 7,000 different places in the United States, and Clinton was really happy because his sales boomed right away. So these little bits of wisdom were in this, and this little bit of humor that these two brothers put together was something that was really very inspiring for people. Maybe they didn't pay any attention to the wisdom of it, but I bet a lot of people got a lot of laughs out of these. And on the internet, I pulled out 4 pages of these little sayings that were on these little red signs with white lettering, and they were spaced far enough apart so that a car driving at, you know, normal speed, which was like 40 to 50 miles an hour, could read those signs and get something out of them. Today, never happen. Those signs would be a big blur. And besides, we have super highways and fancy cars with lots of horsepower. So we'd never be able to read those. So what's happened to us? Billboards. All over the place. Out in the country, in the city, billboards. So, you know, I don't know which was better. Driving slowly on those backcountry roads or whizzing by at 60, 70 miles an hour. I don't know who regards the speed limit either in town or on the roads these days. Maybe it's going to be like this, some of these sayings that we heard. Proper distance to him was bunk. They pulled him out of some guy's trunk. Sometimes I think somebody's going to end up in my trunk when I'm traveling, even the streets of Pittsburgh. We find humor, as we found out in fortune cookies. We find humor even on tea bag tags. Have you ever seen tea bag tags with wisdom on it and humor on it? And so we can find wisdom mixed up with humor in all kinds of ways and all kinds of places in our world today. But when we're living in the fast lane, sometimes it's hard for us to slow down enough to get some sense of where it is that we're really going and what we need to do. Everything is going at such a fast rate. Everybody seems to be in a hurry to get somewhere, to work, to play, to home. Where is everybody going at such a high rate of speed? So this morning I'm going to ask you to play it smart. Be wise and slow down a bit. And join with me in reading the scripture lesson that is printed in your order of service. Now this is from This is from the Peterson version of the Bible, which I think is kind of an interesting one once in a while to read. So what's your step?
Use your head.
Make the most of every chance you get.
These are desperate times.
Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly.
Make sure you understand what the Master wants.
Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens life.
Drink the Spirit of God. Use drafts of Him.
Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing praises over everything, any excuse for a song to God the Creator in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to move this a little bit and get out of the sun, maybe. I like the sun, believe me, but not this morning. So we heard these words of wisdom from Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, and in our common language, words that were hopefully listened to and abided by. Paul is giving us lessons all through Ephesians in how it is that we are to be Christians. What does it take for us to be Christians in our world today? Oh, he's going to help me. Thank you so much, Justin.
Try that.
Oh, marvelous, marvelous. Thanks, Justin. Now, that was a good act. That was a wise move, Justin. Webster says that, as Ashley was explaining to the children, it's the quality of being wise, the faculty of making the best of knowledge, experience, and understanding. It's good judgment. No, we wouldn't want to jump off a car. That would be pretty awful for all of us. And obviously what we need to navigate in these desperate times of today's world is wisdom and understanding and a way that we can be who we are but still be wise. Solomon knew that he wasn't smart enough to rule a kingdom. He said, there's so many people that I have to deal with, so many. How can I ever do this? And he said, I am just a child, is his words to when God asked him, what can I give you? And of all the things he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. I've got to have my smarts, God, because if I don't, I'll never make the job. I'll never be able to do what you call me to do. And so God was so pleased with this because other people would ask for riches and all kinds of things. But when he asked for wisdom, he said, okay, you were so great. You are going to get your riches and you're going to get your honor, just exactly what you deserve to help the people in ruling this country. There are so many places today that we can find wisdom, information, knowledge. But what are really the true places? Where do we get the truth from all of these sources? Now think of all the ones that we have. Bloggers. Many of you know about the bloggers. We have TV commentators. We have radio commentators and news. We have Twitter. In fact, I think with 145 words, it was Twitter that sent the first message out about the plane landing on the Hudson River, if I'm not wrong. So those messages go all over the world, those Twitter messages. And YouTube. And I haven't even mentioned newspapers, e-zines, magazines, books, email, and cell phones, which handle all kinds of communication now very quickly and very efficiently. So if we want it, we get it. Anything we want to know, we can get it at home, we can get it in our offices, we can get it at school, we can get it in our cars. We're not supposed to, but we do. We're always in touch with the world. How many people do you see driving down the street or even out of their driveways in the morning with their cell phones planted on their ears, driving with one hand?
Too many.
Thank you. You're right. Too many people. So when people call me on my cell phone and I'm in the car, I either ignore it or say, I'll call you back, and hang up, depending upon who that caller is. But everyone seems to have this access to the cell phone. Have you noticed? It used to be just business people sitting and doing their business. But now, little kids to seniors, we all have our cell phones. We all know how to be in touch with one another. We can do this. We can get around and get the news that we need to get. We don't lack information. Would you agree with that? We don't lack information. But what we do lack is being able to know if all of this information that we get is truth or is it fiction. We have to make decisions on all this information that we're so busy listening to and gathering. Some decisions, you know, that we make during the day are routine stuff. I mean, we know about getting up and getting dressed and what kind of toothpaste we're going to buy and all these little things in our lives. But then there's the big decisions that we have to make, the ones that really change our lives. The things like marriage and divorce and spending money and pledging to the church, a place to live, a vocation. There's so many of them that we have to make day after day, some good and some not so good, the decision making. But you see, I look at these as two different kinds of decisions. Number one is the small d. The small d is that routine stuff that we do every day. And the big D, well, those are the life-changing things that we can't get away from, that we have to deal with. Even our grief, when a death occurs, become with big decisions that have to be made. So we need help. We need help to decide. We can take care of all the little stuff, generally, but we really need to have some help with the big stuff. And a big day today sometimes depends on whether or not you have a job. Are you single, or do you have a family? Are you a student or a senior, or are you a single parent, or are you grieving? These require big decisions. In our decision making, I think above all, well, the first thing that we have to do is remember who we are. Remember who we are. We are children of God. And whose we are? We are God's. And it is in this framework, I think, that this is the first consideration that we need to make when we are looking at those big decisions. We belong to God, and because of this, we are part of a very, very large family. The family of God, our primary family, is around us this morning, sitting here next to you, around you. This is your family, and these are the people who can help you and to help guide you through their words, through their actions. We do belong to a much bigger family than we can even imagine. We are never alone in our decision making. We are never alone because we're always in the company of all the saints that are living and dead, that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us all the time. We have wonderful biblical stories, such as we heard this morning from 1 Kings about Solomon. We have these stories also that we can use for guidance in our lives. Have you ever read a story or heard a sermon or read a scripture passage and said, oh, aha, that's it. That's it for me, because I was trying to make a decision and this has opened the door for me. This has allowed me to see something that I couldn't even imagine seeing. Something that was so important for me. And I had to be here at this moment, or to pick up this book at this moment, to read this passage at this moment. We are all here for some reason today. You came with something in mind when you came here this morning. Some idea that something was going to happen for you maybe, or you would get some insight, or you would find a new clue for your living, or you would just be able to praise God openly and freely and sing the wonderful songs that we sing and enjoy each other. Maybe you really were just called by name to be here at this place. Today's world is very complex. And the scripture that we read this morning says these are desperate times. Now, this wasn't written yesterday or the day before. It was written several years ago. And I believe that we're always in desperate times. There are always times that are desperate for us, no matter what age we live in, no matter how we have to face life or where we grew up or whatever. There's always a desperate time. Even if it's just for us ourselves, we feel desperate. So these are desperate times. But we live through these times and we learn from these times, and that's very important. And this morning, the scripture reminds us not to live carelessly or unthinkingly, but to use our heads. Oh, by the way, there is a quiz included in your little order of service this morning. A quiz that was developed and put into the Progressive Christian Faith in the Common Good summer issue. And when I came across this, I said, great, this is going to be great. So I took the quiz, and I was surprised at how I did. Several of my colleagues also took this quiz, who also received this magazine, and they were surprised at how they did. So I challenge you all to take this home with you. And take it. I'll be serious about this because I think it's important. How do you stand up in today's world, and how are you going to make decisions about what is going on in the world around you and in your own life in conjunction with the world around you? So take it home, do it, and then look up the scriptural references and see what Jesus is doing now for Jesus' disciples. Some of the questions, as George Rieger has said, will have multiple answers, and some of them will have only one answer. So be careful. Be careful. But I think you're going to have a good time doing this on your own and enjoying it. So get out your Bibles, folks, and check them out. We do have guides for decision making. We have them all around us. And how is it then that we make politically ideological and prejudicial decisions? I'm going to give you a couple of points that you can think about as you make these kinds of decisions. So think about these as I say them. One, the decision we make should preserve the dignity of all people, regardless of where they live and who they are. Number two, our decision should bring people together for reconciliation rather than cause divisiveness. Three, remember the value of each human life, rich, poor, young, old, gay, straight, all ethnicities, all people of color. Each one is valued in God's sight. And then think about your stewardship of humanity, the people in this earth, and the stewardship of our environment. How can we take care of all of these things? Lately, we have witnessed things on our television screens, YouTube, and various other places of angry, shouting people with fists raised and fingers pointing, disrupting meetings, preventing dialogue, and preventing information from being heard. We've also heard commentators making derisive remarks about leaders in this country. We have gotten disinformation given to us as though it were fact. And we've heard abuse heaped on those who are trying to work to fix a broken system. We know what this system is. It's our health insurance system in this country. It's in all the papers, it's in all the news. We're bombarded with this all the time. We can't avoid it. But we are part of all of this. And it's our responsibility as God's children to engage ourselves and each other in dialogue so that we can make up our mind on the issues that are before us according to what it is that we do as God's people, remembering the dignity of all people, making reconciliation with people, of valuing everyone and being good stewards of what we have. What is the truth? Whom do we trust to give us the truth today? It seems right now there is little respect for opposing views, but I pray that there will be reconciliation along the way so that this major problem in our country can be solved, and that everyone, you and me and the poorest person and the richest person, can have the health care that they need in this country. I have gone to one website, I'll throw this out if anybody wants to look it up. It's Sojourners, and they do have some very factual information on health care there. But remember, we are admonished. Make sure we understand what the Master wants. We read that this morning. For this issue and for other issues that arise, it pays us to listen carefully, to see who is talking respectfully, to see who is regarding the dignity of all people, to see who is calling for reconciliation, to see who is using resources wisely. Paul admonishes us in closing words to be filled not with anything that provides temporary well-being, but with music that praises God, that can fill us with joy and peace and hope and comfort. Any addiction, food, drink, drugs, gambling, sex, never completely satisfy anyone, because inside of us we have what I call the God hole. And the only thing that can really satisfy that place inside of us is not anything but God and God's self. Help is there when you ask for it. Solomon did. Please read with me again this passage that we read earlier. So what's your step?
Use your head.
Make the most of every chance you get.
These are desperate times.
Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly.
Make sure you understand what the Master wants.
Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens life.
Drink the Spirit of God. Use the grasp of Him.
Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing praises over everything, any excuse for a song to God the Creator, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. As a Christian community, our decisions let others know whether or not we listen to the wisdom that God gives to us through prayer, scripture, and through our community of faith. May we be filled with praise for God, Creator, God, our Creator, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. Seek to discern truth. Watch your steps. Use your heads. Use every chance to understand where God would have us go.